The Perfect Stress Podcast does not provide medical or nutritional advice, nor is it a substitute for medical or nutritional advice, and is not intended for the prevention, cure, or mitigation of any medical condition or disease. This podcast provides information only. Please consult a physician or nutritionist for advice. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Perfect Stress Podcast, where we walk that fine line between being productive and overdoing it and triggering stress-related symptoms. I'm Adam Darrow, your host and founder of My Stress Alarm. Just a quick note that next week there'll be no episode. I'll be on vacation, and boy, do I need one. And in regards to My Stress Alarm, last episode, I mentioned that I was making a change, specifically hiring a new developer. Well, I did make a decision, and we'll start the onboarding process this week, but probably won't get too far because, as I mentioned, I'll be on vacation. The whole process got me thinking, though, how important it is to be able to pick out good partners and business associates that you want to work with on something. It could be entrepreneurial, but it could also be for a common cause that you both feel strongly about, anything. But if you make the wrong decision, you're going to have significantly more stress in your life. So how do you pick who to work with? Well, I don't claim to be an expert, as I really don't claim to be an expert in stress management either, but what I do on this podcast is share my experiences for what it's worth. So I'll tell you how I chose this particular developer agency. And I think I met with 7 or 8 different agencies or freelancers. I didn't plan on talking with that many, but proposals kept trickling in over a period of about a week or so. I had one more developer to meet with, but I wasn't really that motivated, to be honest, and I was thinking of just canceling because I had already met with more than I planned to and pretty much got a flavor for what I had to choose from. And why would this last one be any different? And I didn't want to waste my time or theirs. But on the other hand, I figured I hadn't made a final decision yet, and no one really jumped out to me as being the one. And the meeting was already scheduled, so what harm would it do to keep the appointment? And I said, okay, that's the last one, I'll just do it. Now, up till that point, there was always something missing with each candidate that I met with or just didn't feel like the right fit, even though I might not have been able to articulate why I felt this way. It's just a gut feeling. But I felt like they could all do the job, you know, from a technical standpoint, but who knows how things would really end up once we actually started working together, right? Because after all, I mean, I didn't foresee needing to find a new developer at this point. I figured by now My Stress Alarm would have officially launched, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Long story short, I did end up hiring the last candidate I spoke with. And the primary reason why is because the owner seemed mild-mannered, easy to work with, eager to please. I felt good vibes, as well as a bit of enthusiasm for the platform that we're using. So there's some intrinsic motivation there, which you can't buy that, and good morale. There were other reasons as well, but to me, those were the main ones because they all center around trust. And when it comes down to it, that's really what makes a good, low-stress partnership is trust. And so your ability to be selective and sort of pick things up in your discussions, things they may say, but things they may not say, perhaps on purpose, perhaps not. Sometimes it makes a difference, sometimes not. But it's those subtle things that make all the difference because they're not going to tell you what their weaknesses are, right? And what their issues are. Well, anyway, time will tell if I made a good decision, but I will say this experience is a perfect example of how the last option that comes along actually turns out, more times than not, to be the best option. I don't know why that is. Maybe just coincidence. maybe not. But this has happened to me before under totally different circumstances. But there was a clear difference in how I felt when talking with this last candidate. And by the way, I even completely forgot about our meeting. I got an email saying, "Do you still want to meet?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I forgot." But luckily, he could still meet me that day. But had I canceled after I forgot about it, I wouldn't have picked the best candidate and the one that I would potentially be happiest with. So you owe it to yourself to perform due diligence, to put the effort in, the discipline to stick to a methodical, systematic process when choosing partners in business and personal for that matter, because if you don't, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. And you don't need that kind of stress, believe you me. Now, there's no way to know for sure how it's going to work out, but if you have good listening skills, there are things that you can pick up on that can help improve your chances of picking the right partner. But one thing that's also really important when making a decision like ending a partnership or starting a new one is to stick with your decision. Because if you're wishy-washy and someone's able to get you to second guess yourself, it creates a precedent of not taking you seriously, and that's never good. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't be open-minded to hear different sides or to give someone the benefit of the doubt, but you do all that before you make that final decision. But you do want to make a final decision and stick with it. If you've done your due diligence in analyzing the situation as objectively as you can, you'll have the evidence to support your decision. So one of the things I did was to take the total hours that I was charged since I hired this agency and divided it by the number of weeks we've been working on the project together to come up with an average number of hours per week that they worked on the project. It was pitifully low, and based on their own record, so no way to really dispute it. But I also have some responsibility to speak up and raise the issue with someone who can do something about it. Because as I mentioned in last week's episode about finding another job, that you're going to have to be somewhat tolerant to imperfections in the workplace, but same goes for partnering with someone. You can't chase perfection. It doesn't exist. But the key to being tolerant is knowing where to draw the line. What's reasonable, what's not. So of course, I did meet several times with one of the founders of the agency I was working with. So went straight to the top. And each time there were improvements made. And so I stuck around and we made progress. But then I had to meet with them again from time to time as things kind of slowed down again. And the last time I met was near the end of March. I think that was the third time we met. And there was a little improvement, but not much. But when is enough? I had met with him at least three times over the course of our engagement. And so he knew the issues. He knew how I felt. And that was the objective of meeting with him. So there was no reason to meet with him again. He already knew everything. And so as a last-ditch effort, I started sending gentle reminders, which is already dysfunctional, right? I mean, a client shouldn't have to send reminders to work on their project. But we were so close to the finish line, I figured it could save me a lot of trouble, you know, if it worked. And it actually did work for about a month or so, but still progress was pitifully slow. And then it did stop working. On that first week when there was no work done, despite the gentle reminder, that was the last straw. In fact, I started thinking maybe they were just being passive aggressive and didn't want me as a client anymore. Maybe they were, you know, pivoting away from development work to other things, whatever, but just didn't know how to tell me. Actually, it turns out I don't think that was the case. I think it was just pure incompetence or lack of experience. I don't know. But bottom line, there were no more reasonable options available to me. I had exhausted all reasonable options and was confident that now was the time to look for a new developer and don't look back. Even though it was so close to the finish line, unfortunately, but it was still the right decision to make. Now, some people would say I was crazy for staying as long as I did. But again, where you draw that line of tolerance is based on your own experience of what is reasonable to expect and what are the reasonable steps to remedy the situation if it does get bad enough, and also the cost benefit of making that ultimate decision to leave. But the whole point of this episode is that having trouble in relationships, which I've had many troubled relationships in my past, both personal and in business. In fact, I've made so many mistakes in this area that I might just be an expert now. But relationship issues, whether personal or in business, can be very stressful because you don't have full control over your partner. You have to rely on trust for the partnership to work. Now, you might say, screw it, I'll just do everything myself. You know the old adage, if you want something done right, do it yourself. But that's not realistic in most cases, which is why having leadership skills are so important, because you need to be able to assemble and lead a group of people in a common cause. And I'm not talking about going to some leadership conference. I'm talking about just understanding how to deal with people, their feelings, having mutual respect and goodwill so people will want to work with you. Because they get stressed too. It's not just you, right? And if you're likable, they may pass up another opportunity that might make them more money because they value a low-stress partnership as well. So how you choose the people you're going to work with, you gain experience with each relationship, and you start to know which questions to ask and in what order and what's the most important thing. And how much more important it is relative to the second most important thing, and so on. You can't Google this stuff, by the way. This comes from experience, and it's pretty specific to whatever line of work you're in, or in the case of personal relationships, what your preferences are, which only you know. This really gets back to episode 80, Success Requires Paying Attention to Details, where I talk about this well-oiled machine that people can't really see from the outside looking in. All they can see are tangible results. But those mundane tasks, necessary evils, if you will, getting better and better at those, that well-oiled machine is a huge part of success. It's not the only necessary component to success, but it's a big part. And it can have a huge impact on your stress levels. And of course, all those productivity tips come into play, being organized so you can learn quickly and adapt as you're learning, having a positive attitude that when you get burned or things don't work out your way, you analyze, document the situation, you make the necessary changes, and move on. In other words, get up, brush yourself off, and start again. Wash, rinse, repeat. It's not that easy. Such is life. Well, that's my two cents for this week. Just a reminder that there will be no episode next week so that I can recharge. Thank you very much for listening. As always, I really value your feedback, so please don't be shy. You can post a comment on the Perfect Stress Facebook page, or always feel free to email me directly at adam@perfectstresscoaching.com. Stay safe, and wishing you good health and success. Have you ever felt like you pushed yourself so much that it actually affected your health, either physically or mentally? If you have an autoimmune disorder, heartburn, tension headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, high blood pressure, depression, or something else you think is stress-related, then My Stress Alarm might be just the app for you, as it helps you walk that fine line between being productive and overdoing it and triggering stress-related symptoms. It takes just a minute a day, no wearables or sensors needed. Just go to mystressalarm.com to download for iOS or Android. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in, and if you'd like to get new episodes automatically, just click subscribe. Also, I'd be much obliged if you left a review or comment. Well, until next time, wishing you good health and success, and remember, don't let stress get in the way of success.